Welcome back to the West Side Discussion Podcast, the first and only podcast dedicated to West Side Discs. My name is Jay. Thanks for listening. This is episode 14. Today I'm joined by Mason Maxwell. Mason joined Team West Side this year, and if you don't know his name, I'm sure you know his work. He's the owner of Midwest Dialabs, and you've seen his discs on Instagram and Facebook. Mason, thanks so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
Pleasure, brother. Happy to be alive. Got 10 toes up, and life's good.
Awesome. Let's start from the beginning. How did you get into disc golf?
Got into disc golf almost, I wouldn't say a fluke, but just happenstance. I was training judo with Sensei Brad Walker in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We're getting ready for a competition, and it was a particularly hard training morning where we had a couple-hour training session early. And as a cool-down, Sensei Walker said, "Hey, if anybody wants to join me, I'm going to go play some disc golf." And I figured, you know, I don't have anything else going on today. Might as well check it out. And kind of the rest was history. I pretty much fell in love with it right off the top.
How long have you been doing judo?
I'm no longer training judo, but that did for, you know, good chunk of time.
Do you still play disc golf with your sensei then?
Unfortunately, I moved. I know he still plays out in South Dakota and holds it down out over there. Incredible guy. The amount of touch that he has on his game is exceptional. Incredible putter.
So I know a lot of players that maybe come from other sports like baseball or something like that, that can translate into disc golf. Is there anything from judo that translates into your game?
There's a, maybe not directly. There's a throw that's very popular called uchimata, in which you kind of balance on one leg and the rear leg pops up to hit somebody's inner thigh and create a nice wheel, really sends them to the mat. That motion can kind of be seen in some people's putting stances on how they kick out their back leg and balance. It's not something that I guess I particularly do, but if I really need to zoom it, I'll send it that way. I actually see more of a connection with forehands and a reverse punch in Shotokan karate, of how you load and transfer your weight from back to forward. To me, it's a very similar motion, or at least that the weight transfer is, not necessarily the arm motion.
All right. Well, again, how long have you been playing disc golf?
I started summer 2015. Summer 2015 was very casual. In 2016, I think I signed up for the first tournament available of the year in March, and it's been off to the races since.
And then how long have you been dyeing discs?
I started to about winter 2016, so very shortly after I started playing. I quickly found that my favorite discs were white, and I got sick of losing them in the winter because I got bit by the bug pretty hard, as a lot of us do, and I needed some means to stand out. Or at least make my disc stand out, and yeah, just something to make them pop.
So it was really just out of necessity to find them in the snow. So when you started, what was kind of the first method you used for dyeing?
I started with the turntable, brother. Like that, I tried a couple of things right around that time. I tried shaving cream method that was popular at the time, and it didn't stick for me. It's not as exciting to me. Like with a turntable, you're active and performing technique the entire time. It requires a good deal of mental concentration and just slowing down, which for me is a blessing.
Oh, so you went right to the turntable.
Right, yeah. The turntable method, yeah, I like the simple cleanness of it. You know, not everything needs to look like it, you know, was like your uncle's lava lamp. Like, that stuff's all cool and not knocking it, but, you know, I like something in just the simplicity of it, and the factor that it takes without tooting my own horn here, it's incredibly difficult to anybody can just blast color, but to be able to create gradients and to be able to create like a richness and depth of color, it takes a discernible eye and a steady hand. And so I maybe dork out about Japanese stuff, but of like the painstaking effort that some, you know, like processes of art go through just to have something so simple, that I kind of speaks to my soul.
Yeah, you described it very well. It is a simple design, you know, the rings around it, but it does look beautiful. So congrats on that, all your hard work. How long did it take you to get from starting to kind of like where you are now?
I mean, I started in 2016, and you know, I'm here now. So I, you know, I like to think, you know, I'm continue to improve. You know, I, at the same time, I go, you know, it's like I've always feel like I've been capable of doing whatever I'm doing right now. It's, I've always just kind of done what I felt is right. I don't painstakingly plan, you know, like I want, you know, I don't draft plot or anything, or go, I, you know, I'll literally just put brush to disc and kind of see where it takes me.
All right, so in the past few years, you know, we've seen disc golf growing and exploding in popularity, and with that, other parts of disc golf has grown as well, like dying discs. Where do you see disc dying going as a business?
I'm kind of the wrong person to ask on this one, bro. I, you know, I've always done it just because it's something that I enjoy doing, and I like seeing people light up. You know, that's why I guess I primarily stayed off of the online too much, or at least initially did, is, you know, you kind of lose that, seeing that sparkle in people's eyes. You give them a gift, or, you know, they go, you know, I want this disc dyed, and you return it to them, and just seeing them light up, like, that's what it's about for me more than anything else, is just getting people excited about disc golf, and, you know, whether it's whatever means I can do possible, I'm happy to. And I like, you know, the personal aspect of it. At the same time, you know, I, you know, dived for many years, and I got in, you know, the idea of going, like, who could possibly care about this? Like, you know, like, why would anyone fathom what, you know, some nincompoop in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota, is doing on a frisbee? You know, to be at least a little self-deprecating, I know they're discs, you don't need to flame me. But at the same time, it's like, the pandemic rolled out, and I was like, you know, I never quit dying. You know, it was always something that I did, and, you know, I'd, you know, show up to tournaments, you know, just throw in, you know, something a little nice, you know, to ease the pressure of CTPs or leagues, just to get people excited a little bit. And, you know, I had, you know, a decent, you know, I wouldn't say notoriety is the wrong word, but I wasn't known a little bit, a little reputation in, you know, pockets of the Midwest, and just said, you know what, I've got a little bit more free time, as a lot of people did during the pandemic, and figure I start throwing up some photos on an Instagram account with a silly name that I created, you know, just, you know, one evening, you know, throwing darts at the wall. And yeah, we're here now. There's a lot of dialabs that have popped up, and, you know, is what it is. And, you know, I'm happy that people feel inspired more than anything to do it themselves, because that's the important part.
So you mentioned you have people give you discs to dye and you get them back to them. Is that typically how you do it? Do you do commissions, or do you just grab a stack of white discs, dye them, and then sell those individually?
Mix of both. You know, as many of us, we all, you know, as disc golfers, we tend to find something that we like, and, you know, maybe go a little bit overboard. So I've got, you know, decent reserve of discs, and if, you know, I have a friend that goes, you know, I really want to try this mold, you know, I'll check what I got, dye it up, and throw it to them. Or you know, a handful of folks have sent me some discs to dye up, and, you know, that certainly helps. And, you know, I just get excited about those who, I guess, get excited about what I'm doing.
So then if someone wants to send you a disc, how can they reach out to you?
Just shoot me a message on Instagram. I'm pretty accessible.
All right, so as we were saying, you know, disc golf has exploded, disc dying is growing as well, and we've even seen disc dyers sponsor players and have teams. Is that something you got going on? Do you have a team?
Yeah, that's something I've branched out to this past year, and, you know, I have a good assemblage of folks that really care about disc golf or just as excited about it as I am, that do good in their local communities. That's what I'm concerned about more than anything else in the world. I couldn't care less, that, you know, people have, you know, insanely huge social media presences and, you know, post my name left, right, center on every single thing that they do. That's, to me, it feels entirely forced. And I have a loose assemblage of folks that I like to take care of. You know, I'll hook them up with discs as I can, and whatever dye work that they want done, I'll take care of them. And, you know, I'm, I feel blessed to be surrounded by a lot of people that care about disc golf as much as I do and are doing great things in their area.
All right, so it sounds pretty much just like a partnership, right? Like you're helping the player, they're helping you. Is there anything else to it, or is that pretty much it?
That's about it. I literally, you know, for... I wouldn't say... it's very informal, you know. Do what thou will, and, you know, I'll do my best to make you happy. You know, it's not... You know, I don't have, like, structures or go, you must XYZ post, anything like that. You know, maybe I should, but to me, that's not why I got into disc golf dying in the first place. For me, it was a way to relax, meditation, and the ability to see discs in the winter. You know, it's sometimes, you know, a hat's just a hat.
Right. And speaking of sponsorships, this year you're on Team Westside. How did you get connected with Westside Discs?
That's a question that I'm still trying to figure out the exact answer myself. You know, the path wasn't, you know, I guess, you know, straightforward. You know, I initially got kind of exposed to Trilogy through Sensei Walker. I found a stag in a used bin at Played Again in, like, right in the fall of 2016, and that kind of spurred everything over. You know, I had, you know, a mixed bag, and that, you know, I just fell in love with the stag right off the gate. I linked up with some guys that are, this is no longer with Trilogy, but, you know, wonderful people, Mike Ahrens, Jake Key, they kind of helped, you know, get me in the right direction, particularly Mike, especially on kind of showing me the ethics of how to be involved in disc golf. He's a seminal person, I guess, in my disc golf career, for lack of a better term, or, desire, you know, and shaping the desire for golf, and linking with Westside in particular, it's a fine gentleman north of me in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Brandon Ray Watson, who's on Team Dynamic Discs. We linked up this past spring, and, you know, we're at each avid Trilogy guy, as he knew I was a big Westside guy, and went to bat for me, and I'm extremely grateful for him, not just for going to bat for me, but for being an exceptional friend as well.
So I've seen some of your discs pop up on, like, the DD auction page. Is that something that's part of your sponsorship, or is that something you had going on before that?
Yeah, you know, again, I'm turning left and right and going, how did I get here? I think it was just a Facebook Live or maybe Instagram Live where Rusko said, you know, like, does anybody have a suspect? And I happened to have a Fusion suspect. You know, dyed it up for him, sent it to him. He's like, these are great. You know, like, what? And kind of got me more thinking about business end of things. And we hammered that out. And, you know, I dyed up a handful of discs for him. And, yeah, it's been pretty cool to just see my work out there on a larger scale. As, you know, I've been kind of a lay in the cut type of fella. And I'm excited.
Yeah, it's very cool seeing your work out there. So what kind of advice would you give to somebody wanting to get into dying discs?
Don't. No, I'm kidding. Do it. Have fun. You know, like, yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. Do it for fun. Do it if you enjoy it. You know, I never was an artist before. You know, like, I never had the patience to figure out how to sit down and do that. So that's why I say it's kind of a meditative practice for me. Just do it if you want to have some fun. You know, like, there's not everybody needs to, you know, go out and be like some weird, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to be measured in my speech here, but yeah, do it if it speaks to you and you find it interesting, by all means do it.
All right, and to see your discs, that's Midwest Dye Labs on Instagram, right?
Yeah, at Midwest Dye Labs on Instagram is my Dyer page, and at Max Disc Golf is my personal page.
Perfect. And I'll have those links in the show notes so people can check that out. Is there anything else you'd want to add, say, or plug before we go?
Get into yoga. Whether you're old, young, it's never too late, early to start. Get on it.
Thank you so much for listening. This is the Westside Discussion Podcast. I want to thank Mason Maxwell for coming on today. Thank you again to Mando Discware. The theme song is What Would You Be Like by Kira the Don. We'll continue the discussion next time.